And on the subject of creatures from the sea, this one's lived through two world wars. His name is Jonathan, the Seychelles' giant tortoise that holds the title of the oldest living land animal. And Jonathan's latest milestone? Celebrating his 190th birthday. Well, Jonathan lives on the island of St. Helena in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, but his vet, Joe Hollins, is currently in South Africa, where we're going to now. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Karen.
How are you? I believe you've got some absolutely appalling weather in South Africa and you're on the generator.
Yeah, I'm afraid you might hear it in the background, but actually it's, heavy thunderstorms, but today's like a beautiful day. But they've got a real problem with their infrastructure. So they do what's called load shedding about four times a day because they just don't have the capacity anymore to power the nation, which is very sad.
Well, an incredible line we've got you on then. Fantastic. We can't hear the generator at all.
Well, that's excellent. I wonder, though, with load shedding, maybe it's because I'm the only person out there at the moment.
You probably are. Well, that's lucky for us. All right, let's talk about Jonathan. How did you meet Jonathan?
Jonathan, I love Jonathan. I always had an interest in, you know, pet tortoises in the UK, particularly as they're hibernating species, and people get it wrong quite often, so we treat them. And then I worked in the Falkland Islands, and as a result, then on St. Helena, of course, I found myself as the first permanent vet, actually, and the only vet in charge of the collection of giant tortoises at Plantation House, which is a sort of magnificent edifice built by the East India Company that the governor lives in.
Geez, so they keep them how? What are their surroundings like?
Well, the surroundings are stunning, actually. It's not the perfect habitat in winter because it gets a bit cool and chilly. It's about 500 metres altitude. But Plantation House is one of these grand Georgian stately homes. And the East India Company was sort of lavishly rich at the time. And it was built in the late 1700s and I think early 1800s it was modified. So it stands proud and high above what's called the paddock, which is all railed off. And that's where we keep four giant tortoises, Jonathan, of course, being the King Chelonian of them all, the great titan. And they come from the commonest giant tortoise is the Aldabra giant tortoise from the Aldabra Atoll in the Indian Ocean. And there are about 100,000 of them there, would you believe it? It's the second largest atoll in the world. Jonathan, though, is a Seychelles giant tortoise, a very rare survivor as it is. And as a species, or what we now know to be a subspecies through DNA testing, that was considered extinct up until the late 1990s. But because there's a tragic history to giant tortoises that you may know about, they were very stackable, very herdable, and mariners in the days of yore who relied on salted beef, often contaminated with maggots and ship's biscuit, obviously collected the giant tortoises for eating. You didn't have to feed them or water them for weeks on end as well. They're very resilient. And sadly, too, they're said to have been utterly delicious. So, but the result was a lot of ships carried giant tortoises, and St. Helena, before the Suez Canal, was a principal stopping point for all the eastern traffic going back up through the Atlantic to Europe. And so tortoises were often gifted as diplomatic gifts. And when they searched world collections, they rediscovered two species or subspecies. And one of them was Jonathan, the Seychelles giant tortoise. Oh, extraordinary history.
Yeah, incredible. Now, I have to rewind here because you said paddock. You said paddock. And tortoise doesn't go in the water, does it? A turtle does.
Yes and no. As you know, they're closely related. And if you talk to an American, they always call a tortoise a turtle, which we get frustrated with.
Right.
But they are actually neutrally buoyant, and they are known to be able to migrate across to islets off the coast. So they can shift around. And they actually, because their natural habitat includes mangrove swamps, quite extraordinarily, this is hardwired into the genetics, which I find just marvelous, really. And so up in the paddock in the rainy season, they will paddle the ground. It's turf. It's good turf. But eventually turn it into chocolate, gloopy chocolate. And they'll mud wallow. But they will scarily for me, put their heads under the mud. For I haven't timed it, a half an hour. So all you see is the top of the shell, so they can hold their breath for a long, long time. And part of the habitat improvement, actually, that we did was to have a walk-in bath. They must have a walk-in bath with fresh water. And they'll go in there and stick their heads underwater. And apparently they can actually, like a camel, really, they can just pump themselves up with water. But they actually can draw it through their nostrils as well as their mouth. So they are, you can see the aquatic relationship with the turtle, definitely.
But where do they live when they're, you know, not wandering around this paddock? Where do they go and sleep?
Yes. So I don't know about New Zealand, but I know a paddock in Australia could be 10,000 acres, but it's only a small, it's a British paddock.
All right. It's a field.
So it's a field, and it's railed off because St. Helena is very precipitous and these tortoises can fall on their backs. In fact, Jonathan's old companion did and was found dead. So the fringes of the paddock have got lots of lovely bushes and overgrowth. And it's a historic garden with lots of exotic plants brought by
beautiful.
The East India Company. So very beautiful, yeah. And the gardeners keep it and tend it very, very well, but they keep the sides more bushy. So in the evenings and in wet weather, they'll go in under the trees or bury themselves in heaps of grass clippings for insulation and just take it easy.
What's his personality like?
He's adorable, actually. He's a bit like us chaps when we get very old. He's a very benign and gentle old fellow, really. And we have another tortoise there called David, the same, slightly bigger, actually. And he is 54, and he's at the height of his male dominant aggressive powers. And he is aggressive. And Jonathan, you can see, is very gentle, partly because he's blind from cataracts and he's got no sense of smell as well. So he's a bit isolated in that respect. Not that he minds, but his hearing is fabulous. So he uses that to great effect. Hearing is completely unimpaired, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
So he responds to my name, which is rather nice because I've been hand feeding him for 12 years now, once a week.
What do you mean? He knows you're Jonathan.
I know, I'm Jonathan and he's Jonathan, I know. So when I approach him, I just say, Jonathan, 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 hello, Jonathan. And because he knows my name, he suddenly cranks up. They can stand very high and they have incredibly long reptilian necks for reaching up into bushes. So he'll stand up and stretch his neck out and he'll start biting the air for the food. And then I guide his head and place the food in such a way as he gets small bites. So I don't want to choke him or anything. And he loves it. So he gorges on it. He's greedy, actually, which is a good sign.
And he's how long is he? If I was looking at his giant, so how big's giant?
Like my goodness. I can't give you the precise measurement, but I'm just thinking about this tabletop here, which is about the same. And so are you in metres or feet these days in New Zealand?
Metres.
Don't know.
We know feet. We understand feet. Yeah, that's all right. Either or.
Okay. He's about a metre and a half, I think, in length.
That's incredible.
And probably about 180 kilos, 170, 180, maybe 200.
Wow.
I think David's 200. Yeah. So if he steps on you, his feet are like an elephant's foot, if you understand that, a nice round plate. And one big difference between turtles and tortoises, of course, is gravity. Turtles are neutrally buoyant and they struggle with gravity. I've seen them laying eggs on our sister island of Ascension. It's a real effort. But tortoises, of course, will stand high, really high. They've got these enormous muscular trunks of legs. And if they step on you, boy, do you know it.
Yeah, I bet. And what does he eat?
So they predominantly in the wild would eat grass, roughage, and scrub, and occasionally things like bird eggs and so on, which is probably a mineral deficiency, actually, and insects. So in the paddock, we have to be a bit careful because we are restricting them slightly, and they eat the grass, they graze that. They like chrysanthemums, which grow on the edge of the paddock as well. And they like fruit as well. There are a couple of fruit trees there that drop their fruit once a year, like Brazilian guavas and loquats, and they love that. Too much fruit is not that good for them, though, actually. So with him, though, the extraordinary story with him was when I first met him in 2009, it looked like he was on his way out. He had a soft, crumbly beak. We do call it a beak. And that goes back to the relationship with birds and reptiles being of one way, way back. He had soft, crumbly beaks, so he couldn't graze. And it, because of his cataracts, he was grabbing at soil and dry leaves and so on. And so I started to hand feed him. And I can't take full credit for this. I was just trying to support his calories. But actually, he was suffering from a vitamin, mineral, and trace element deficiency. So he regrew his beak, which meant he could graze properly. And he put on weight and became more active. So he literally rejuvenated. So, so that was predominantly vegetables like cabbage, lettuce, carrots, very important for vitamin A for tortoises. They suffer from a vitamin A deficiency quite easily. And then some fruit as well, like apples, pears, and loquats when they're in season. Cucumber, he adores. And I was given some kale once, and you can tell what he likes. Kale, I don't like it. He finds it revolting, so don't do that anymore.
Go, Jonathan. And he's 190, so has he ever had has there been a Mrs. Jonathan?
Yes, well, there's been a Mr. Jonathan as well, actually. What? Animals are not too choosy.
Really?
Yes.
Great.
I mean, it's the same as a vet. You know, I can tell you when we tell if a cow's in heat because it mounts another cow or stands on another cow. And who hasn't been ridden by the odd male dog, you know? So,
speak animal, for yourself.
Oh, I have been, yes, but definitely. If it's not the cushions. And so it's really, to be honest, it really is only the human, the species that I wouldn't say has a hang-up, but, you know, it's been an issue around the world, hasn't it? But animals are not too gender fussy, put it like that. So he used to be quite amorous to Fred, who we once thought was Frederica, but Fred is definitely Fred. And also Emma, who is the female tortoise there. But I think now he's lost his sense of smell, which is important to tortoises, and his sight. He doesn't bother now. So he just gently roams the paddock and does his own thing.
And happy to do it, by the sound of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. So great hearing about him, Joe. Why are you in South Africa? Are you on holiday?
No, I'm having something sorted out myself medically. It's not too serious. So we come here really for a specialist or consultant advice.
I see.
But it'll be sorted soon. Nothing serious.
Oh, well,
so nothing. Anyway, I know that I won't be able to compete with Jonathan for age. So, but it is extraordinary if you think about it. He's so iconic to the Saints as the islanders are called on the island, because he's a symbol of resilience and longevity and persistence. And, you know, he's been there when plagues have come and gone, including our recent pandemic, when kings and queens have reigned and died. And frankly, when empires have come and gone, including the British Empire. And it's quite extraordinary to think that. So landed in 1882, fully grown. So we estimate that to be about 50 years, which means he hatched or was laid at about 1832. And if we're wrong, it's only a handful of years. But we could be wrong the other way, big time. He might be over 200.
How incredible. And he's come from one side of Africa. He's come right round Cape Horn, probably, and
yes,
from the Seychelles to St. Helena on the other side. Maybe he might make it home one day. You never know.
Yes. No, I think he's well. I don't think they would let go of him now. He's a treasure. And,
right,
of course, tourists adore him. They just love an animal story. So they always seek out Jonathan.
And so do we. And we so appreciate you telling us. Thank you so much, Joe. And it was such a great line to you there on the generator in the background. And it's just been wonderful talking to you. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Karen. That's been great. And nice to talk to you guys down under.
Fantastic.
Or is that Australia? Have I just insulted you?
No, we're both down under. It's all right.
Okay, good.
Okay, Joe, thank you. Good night.
Many thanks. Good night, Karen.
It's Joe Hollins, currently, as he said, in South Africa, but lives on the island of St. Helena with Jonathan. And Joe also calls himself Jonathan. That's what he was referring to when he said we're both Jonathans.